Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Everyone is going to have a better or a worse draw unless you draw the same team. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, 14th of December. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Vidisha Nandaraja.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
It's not just at the Champions League draw that there was a software error. There's been a software error in the Ramble studio, which means that Vish hasn't had any coffee yet.
Don't put this on me. You haven't had any coffee either.
I haven't. Write in, listeners. Who's still fun?
I had a coffee on the way in. So,
oh, bloody hell.
I have to do the heavy lifting for everyone.
Thanks for our coffee.
Can you breathe can you breathe in our mouths for a little bit?
Is that COVID safe?
I don't know.
But it is.
Probably not, no. But yeah. Just any caffeine residue that you have.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
I would like a hit on that.
It's one of the coffee shops where they give you a little biscuit as well. So I've also had a little bit of
sugar.
So,
yeah. And a biscuit you can't find anywhere else apart from in those little shops. Yeah.
Yes.
Was it a Lotus biscuit?
It wasn't, but it was that sort of area.
Oh, right. I didn't know that there was any other version, to be honest.
Yeah, the Biscoff family.
Yeah, oh, lovely.
A bit of chocolate inside it. It's great.
Oh, my.
You guys need to change your routine to work.
This guy lives like a king.
I know, yeah. Jesus.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking a break from your luxurious
You
walk.
Only came You're in welcome. To walk past that coffee shop and get your little chocky bicky.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Because obviously I can't get it otherwise. You can't simply just buy the biscuit.
No, you cannot.
They won't allow it.
No.
That's such a good point. I mean, presumably that is impossible. Where do you get it? Costco? Like a million little tiny wrapped up biscuits?
I don't know. I think you have to own a cafe to even be allowed to.
That makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
All makes perfect sense. What doesn't make sense in any, to be honest, the Champions League draw and the Europa League draw and all those other draws don't make sense in any kind of a world, but they specifically didn't make sense yesterday. They're generally speaking, I think, a sort of embarrassing throwback to the days when like very, very sort of oldish men in suits ran everything and didn't mind about flair or excitement and stuff like that. And then even the practicalities of the situation, Jim, were torn asunder.
It's really funny, isn't it, that they could just get something so simple and banal.
You only need a spreadsheet, probably.
Exactly, yeah. Do we even really need to see them happen? It's just a bit of needless pageantry, isn't it? It's like just more another excuse for a buffet, essentially. For all these
Although
men.
If you're listening, you guys, and you need a host, don't you?
But I just love that even the Champions League, you know, one of the most, the biggest sporting spectacle on earth in terms of, you know, I mean, the final is comparable to the Super Bowl in terms of numbers, isn't it? And they've just ballsed it up really, really badly. Mm. So they just like, did they just knock it up that morning?
Mm. I quite like the fact that those kind of things have so many hangers-on, people who just want to be front of camera and seem to be involved.
Yeah.
And as soon as it fucks up, no one wants to take responsibility for it. No, I was just standing there, mate. Look at the small little Russian fella with the funny hair.
Nice to see him, isn't it? It's been a while since you've seen him.
He's not going to come out again, is he? He's come out once. He's fucked it up.
I don't think it. Well, as they made quite clear, what was it they said? Following a technical problem with the software of an external provider, blah blah blah. We fucked it up. The thing about that is that's like 3 or 4 removed, right?
Yes.
Because it's like following, it's in the passive voice.
Software. Yeah.
Software, external provider.
Yeah, but I mean, it could have been Arshavin's fault. Bear in mind that Arshavin, when he signed for Arsenal, it was probably his agent's fault, but they messed up his wage, didn't they? Because they forgot the change in tax.
Really?
From playing in England, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is very, very funny.
I don't think I knew that. Yeah. So they hugely overpaid him, presumably.
No. He basically undersold himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Which is rare for a footballer, but also it kind of makes sense. He got very annoyed about it.
I think he started to compensate for that in terms of how much he ran later into his Arsenal career.
Is it a bit like, you know, there's that date, which dispiritingly was 2 months ago when, because of the pay gap between men and women, women could stop working on that day and that would be equivalent to what men would get paid for the whole year.
Wow.
I'll shove and just stop it at 65 minutes.
Yeah.
That's me done.
Yeah.
Right, see you later.
You get what you pay for, lads.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it then. The cut price ball drawer was the issue. You're the serious journalist here, Vish, as we all know. So possibly you can talk us through why it fucked up so much. So anyway, yesterday, in case you've missed this, there were 2 Champions League draws. So everyone's a winner, really. Get to watch it twice. Manchester United's ball was pulled out of the pot to face Villarreal, but they were ineligible to play each other. They'd been in the same group, Vish.
Yeah, so there's certain criteria that the draw still has to fulfil. It's not a case of putting the balls out and shouting out the teams.
No, it's
so
a very complicated exercise.
I mean, yeah, it isn't. But, but yeah, you can't play a team that you were already in a group with before. You also can't play someone from your own country in that first knockout stage. So when Manchester United were pulled out to face Villarreal, they should have gone back into the pot, but instead
they just popped them on the side.
Which I think means United should probably get a bye to the quarterfinals, shouldn't we? We've all made a mistake, but sometimes when you make a mistake, good things can happen unless you do a redraw. And there are no mistakes.
As our resident serious journalist, can you reframe that to us as a
right? When I, okay, when I was when I was working in North Korea, we did a lot of things that were just out of fairness, really. But yeah, so basically they had to redraw, and I think we have a better draw for it. Are we allowed to say that?
Please.
Yeah, I think so. There's some tasty ties in there. Yeah.
Say what you feel.
I mean, Inter Milan, Liverpool. Could be a Hall of Fame
it
tie.
Could. They've not met that much actually in the past, have they? I think there was a controversial game in the 60s and certainly a more recent one than that. But for two teams of that size, they've not played each other that often. So this would be quite an interesting one.
So you're not devastated by the loss of the Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo experience?
I mean, that would have been very fun. And I think if you saw that the various Manchester United channels were going hard
Bizarre.
On that. Yeah. and then it was taken away from them, sadly. But I don't know, PSG, Real Madrid?
Yeah. Real Madrid
pretty
fuming.
Tidy as well.
Absolutely fuming.
Yeah, like wonderful
the past
stuff.
Versus the future or the... Two quite similar but slightly different
styles of team.
It's basically succession in a football match, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
The English teams are playing. Here's who they're playing. Sporting go up against Man City, Atletico Madrid at Manchester United, Inter v Liverpool, as already mentioned. And Chelsea managed to land Lille twice.
Yeah, they'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a kind of a fascinating one, actually, because they're French champions, Lille, but they're currently in the bottom half of Ligue 1. And I think, I don't know, one of those like mathsy things explained that Lille was the best option for your tie.
Yeah, but it was very similar to, you know, when Manchester United were doing very badly in the league but still qualifying for the Champions League, they'd be in a good pot. Where conversely, Manchester City were winning the league and would, you know, be hamstrung by this, by having that lower pot space. So yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Oh yeah, it was 538. It was a proper maths thing that I read about this.
Right, okay. Well, that's fancy. All right, mate.
So how do you feel about getting Atletico Madrid? That is one of the tasty ties I mentioned.
Well, you say that. I think that's got the potential to be the dullest game out of all of them.
Yeah, in terms of like the football.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of the
story
neutral,
will be
yeah.
great, won't it? It will be a fight over two legs.
Yeah, I feel like if Solskjaer was there still, then there'd be a bit more back and forth between him and Simeone. But yeah. Rangnick, we don't know if he's a violent type. We don't know about the pressing and the running. What if he just runs away from the fight?
I don't think you have to be a violent type for Diego Simeone to drag you down to his level. So.
Oh, I suppose, yeah. It's a bit like, you know, no one knows what you'd do if a shark bit you on the leg. Everyone says punch the nose, but you don't know until you're in that moment. So exactly. I suppose, yeah, this is his nose punching.
We don't know how many people have punched sharks and not lived to tell the tale. Presumably
that's
a
true,
lot.
Actually. We might be just going back on one person's word who got away with it. And he just happened to be a boxer.
Yeah. Mike Tyson.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, and then I bit the shark. Okay, don't leave that. No one's going to bite a shark, Mike.
Real called the redraw a scandal. They said
of course
that
they
said that it should have it should have been redrawn fine, but after their draw, because the fuck
because the mistake
after
happened afterwards.
They were drawn against, I want to say, Benfica.
Yes. Yeah.
Although the upside as well generally is that Ajax are now playing Benfica in the real draw.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite cool that one of those two are going to get through to the next round, because they're the anti-European Super League clubs.
Yeah, I mean, they've got so much history with those clubs as well. Obviously, Benfica, it's sort of pointless them being there because they're still cursed. I don't know how many years have to run on the European
curse.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's not actually that many, weirdly, I think. The curse of Bella Gutmann, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about and you want to look it up, it's absolutely amazing. But yeah, have Real Madrid got a point there?
That they should have redone it after the mistake?
Yeah.
I think Florentino Perez likes to have fights with people, whatever happens. I think you have to do the whole, I don't know, actually. I was about to say, I think you have to do the whole draw fully again.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't need to.
Because otherwise, why not?
Because you would still have the requisite balls in there if United were in there to pull out the remaining fixtures.
Spoken like Diego Simeone.
And a bit of Sven, actually. But yeah, no, you could have still done that. I think they just wanted to have a party again, didn't they?
Yeah, they wanted to keep it going. They're having such a nice time.
To be honest,
at their pageant.
It doesn't actually matter to me because I'm not going to be watching any of the next stage of the Champions League out of protest.
Yeah.
What's a protest?
Against the removal of the away goals rule.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know swearing for me is not like an occasional thing, but I think it's a fucking scandal.
I hate it. I really like away
goals. It's just less fun.
You don't want to do anything that makes... Well, you do if you're the European Super League or if you're Real Madrid or whoever. You don't want to... But generally speaking, real people don't want to do anything that makes an upset less likely. And I believe that the away goals removal makes it an upset less likely.
Because it makes things swing in such dramatic ways. Yeah. We've all seen brilliant games as a result of it. And yeah, it's a real sickness to go out on away goals. But like, that is part of the jeopardy of it. And we're just going to get more extra time now. That's all it's going to mean.
The one thing I will say about it is away goals is the kind of thing that I love because it existed when I started watching football.
Yeah.
And I love what it does in the same way that you say that with the sways and stuff like that. And I think in some situations it does... You know, even the odds to a point, you know, if you get a good result against a big team, that's, you know, a bit more in your favour if you're playing away from them in the second leg. I also do think it's the kind of thing where if it wasn't a thing and it was brought in, we'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah,
this doesn't make any sense.
It's true.
which makes me think that it's never coming back.
Oh, God.
Yeah, which is quite sad.
No, yeah, of course it won't. Like, things like this, they don't, like, reintroduce them, do they? So, yeah, it's going to be strange. We're just, there's going to be penalty shootouts in the Champions League, right? And obviously penalties are great drama. But, like,
and I, do
I
lo-
liked
actually,
the
yeah,
rarity
I
of a penalty shootout in the Champions League. It didn't happen very often, so when it did, it was like, oh, my God. But, yeah.
I wonder how quickly the players will attune to it. Like, presumably, obviously, you know, they'll just look at the score and that'll be regular. But I wonder if one of them, you know, in-game would have to be reminded that, no, no, mate, we need a couple more goals here.
Yeah.
Stop taking it from the corner.
Feels like yet another victory for the suit. Taking away everything that makes it a bit wacky.
Well, maybe the universe is evening it up. First putting a ball on the side. Who knows what's going to happen next?
Okay.
Maybe the mini car will go rogue and...
That'd be good. I miss the car.
Attack people.
We don't want that.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? If it attacked people in suits, that'd be fine.
Mm. Look, I don't... violence is not something I like to encourage.
It's car on man violence.
And, it, the
and
car
you hate
is,
the man.
Yeah.
And the car is quite small. But actually, the car would then make itself look a bit silly, potentially.
Nah,
it would,
why?
Because it wouldn't... What's it going to do? It's not going to be able to...
Have you ever been hit in the shin? It's fucking pain.
I don't think it'd be able to... in the shin.
Would it, yeah, good point. It wouldn't be able to reach the shin, I don't think, the little car. Would it?
Yeah, it would.
Okay.
Had a little ramp.
Right, in little car. He's a big listener, actually. I think he might be the they. Europa League draw also took place. Fewer cock-ups in that one. The cool thing about this, I think, is that the Europa League this season, for the first time, has a knockout stage. So it means that all of these dickheads who've fallen out of the Champions League, like Barcelona, have to play an extra tie before West Ham. So there's a purpose to being the winner of your group, right? Which I think is, broadly speaking, quite a good idea.
Yeah. It's fairer, isn't it?
Victory for the suits.
Yeah, well done them. I really like Barcelona-Napoli, obviously, because it's an incredibly huge fixture. But it also feels a bit like, you know, if you go to a random gig and you see a big act who's just trying to workshop some stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very much so. I feel like this Barcelona are really vulnerable here. I feel like this is going to be Napoli's day, just because Barcelona's decline is just, it just seems like it's got so much momentum, like in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it could be really fun. Although I want them to... I know it's talked up a lot, both on Twitter and in here, but I want Barcelona to play West Ham.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah.
Just, it'd be so good.
Oh. So you're backing them, you want them to get through.
Yeah, I know, that's the awkward thing, yeah. Because I think also if they lose in this little halfway house, then they might be able to, we didn't care anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't want them, I want them to care, and I want Antonio to do them.
You're on a downward spiral, are you? Well, do I know the ferryman for you?
Rangers are going to face Borussia Dortmund.
So 90s.
Mm. So 90s?
So
90s. That's a Paul Gascoigne tie, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
And the sort of
Paul Lambert, Paul Gascoigne,
Dortmund's like neon kit. They should wear the 90s kits for this one.
Yes. But yeah, all over that.
Absolutely right. Also, Europa Conference League was drawn. Hard to read what happened in that because the website takes a bloody long time.
But also, because Spurs fucked it up.
Spurs
were gremlin in the system. Yeah.
I don't think that's Spurs. I don't think we'd talk about our longish name as being like a part.
Well, no,
of
it's
our
yours.
Demise.
It's yours and Vitesse.
Yeah,
that was the issue. Yeah, it was.
It's like the graphic when it gets to 10-0, it doesn't expand out.
Yeah.
So what appears to have happened here is that this competition is something it feels like Spurs could legitimately win.
Mm.
And then the universe has stepped in and gone, absolutely not. Not a chance.
Because
you might get kicked out.
Effectively forfeited. It seems like we effectively forfeited the Ren game.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to find a solution, aren't they, between everybody. But essentially... Spurs and Ren couldn't find a date this year.
It feels like Ren probably aren't trying to help find a solution. No. I'm not saying that to be any Ren fans in the house. I'm not trying to diss them, but
why would you?
No, yeah, exactly. But I feel like Spurs definitely didn't necessarily... I mean, obviously there was a COVID outbreak and that is
very serious.
Not something that anyone would want, but they definitely seem to have perhaps... It came across as though maybe they were a bit high-handed in the way that they called it off unilaterally. Oh, silence.
Yeah, and I think that's fair.
You don't?
No, I think that's fair.
Oh, you think it's fair? Okay, right, yeah.
But it's just, Ren is just like, well, actually, we don't give a shit about you. Yeah, so just crack it on.
Are you essentially blaming the suits again? Is that what's going on?
No. Yeah, I think I am actually. I don't know. The point is that they have to play the game before the end of the year, and that's nigh on impossible. So, it looks like perhaps Spurs will go out. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, well, there's always the other one, isn't there? The other thing you can win, the hearts of the people.
That is what we're trying to win.
Yeah, you'll always have that.
Sticking with the Europa Conference League, the main league, Leicester City going to face, I never know how to say these people, Randers. Fifth in the Danish Superliga. Celtic face Norwegian champions and conquerors of Jose Mourinho's Roma. Bodo / Glimt. Yes, that's how I'm saying it. Don't argue.
I'm quite excited for Leicester City because I know they've been in a bit of a, bit of a poor run, and they came back against Newcastle, and even, the game against Napoli, they're a bit all over the place. But they can clearly, still attack people.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they'll, they might get far enough in this and think, shit, okay, why not? Because I reckon, this first game is the awkward game.
Yeah.
And then if you get through, then it's like, right, we're quite close to some European silverware here.
They're also in some good form now as well. They've been pretty patchy, haven't they, at points this season. But they it feels like they're, James Maddison's hitting form at the right time. They're just, like, Harvey Barnes playing really, really well. It seems like they are kind of back where you might expect them to be. They do this, don't they? They have essentially patchy seasons is what's cost them. But I think that the level of this competition is something where they can actually go and think, you know what, we might be able to win this.
Mm.
Tasty stuff.
Get some more silverware in this amazing period they're having.
Yeah, true. We're going to get to a break now so we can check in with our software provider, and then we'll check in on tonight's games after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
English media, typewriters ready, please. He's going to talk about Harry Maguire now. Hoe vond je hem de laatste tijd? Hij pakt rood tegen Watford.
He's really shit.
How can you just... I love it.
Yeah.
You can just swear on the telly in other countries. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Vish and Jim with you today. And now we've got time for some emails.
Yep, Andy's been in touch, not Andy Brassel, to my knowledge. I'm a Sunderland-born boy who found his way to Portland, Oregon, just this August. Due to COVID and other factors, I haven't been able to watch a game of live football for a while. I have found myself at the Portland Timbers Stadium when I went to watch a few games this year and noticed they have a song sheet, just like in church, with all the song lyrics they sing at the stadium for fans that go regularly or newbies who want to sing along. I have to be honest, despite the fact it can be very helpful to people wanting to join in on some stadium chants, I think it's one of the reasons people don't take MLS seriously. I have been a little unrelenting with my Timber fan friends, as I think it's one of the most laughable things I've ever seen. I couldn't quite get over the fact that they specifically printed out a sheet of lyrics for fans and were being handed out by stewards at the ground. I would love to know your thoughts on this. I've had to take it a little easier on my Timber fan friends as they had a pretty crushing loss in the MLS Cup final on pens.
Very enjoyable email, Andy. As someone with a background in choral singing, I would say I appreciate the idea of everybody in a football stadium with their song sheet and presumably their beautiful like embouchures ruffs, and like.
Yes. I went to a christening on the weekend.
Oh yeah.
I think it's the first time I've ever been to a christening.
Did you get the big job?
No. Oh. No, I shouldn't be given that responsibility. No, they had a vicar there for that. But they had they had song sheets, and it's the first time in a while that I've been confronted with All Things Bright and Beautiful, and the first time I've been confronted with any hymn, and I totally forgot that once you get past the verse, when you go back to the chorus, it's at the start and it's not in the middle. It doesn't just go all the way through, so I got stuck a few times.
Amateur.
Well, so maybe you do need a song sheet then.
I think I do every week,
gradually get there.
Also, I think this is the kind of thing that it's like, from a football perspective, as in like, oh, you know, we like football in this country perspective, is, oh, this is so embarrassing. I mean, it's just another way to make people feel included.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not, I don't mind it that much. It's like half and half scars, which I thought were bollocks. And then my partner's dad came over and was like, oh, what a lovely souvenir of a game I went to. And I was like,
Yeah, shit.
I think it's a touristy thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the idea of that, I think. So yeah, I like the idea of choral singing in this situation, though.
Yeah.
If all the fans in a certain section got together, they started to practice, they started meeting away from the game, they could properly belt out the songs. They'd be like, you know what? They are all in tune. There's bass, there's vibrato, however it works, I don't know. It'd be amazing.
Big difference,
wouldn't it?
I'm just wondering, like, for example, if they were to instigate this at the Emirates. What's that going to say? That's just going to have three notes written down in a word.
If they instigated that at the Emirates, that would just be a Richard Curtis film, wouldn't it?
Oh my God, wouldn't it just?
Yeah.
Although I would not like to encourage singing at the Emirates. We're above that. That's what the riff-raff in the away end do.
Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. Point. Now I understand it.
I've got an email from Brett. I love the fact that it's from Brett and it's about Australia. 7-time emailer, I counted, and I wanted to share an instance of animals on the pitch following your chat on Friday.
Oh, yay!
An Aussie rules game between Sydney and St Kilda was interrupted by a pig. Yes, a pig being released onto the pitch with number 4 painted on its side. A tribute to Tony Plugger Lockett. I know Tony Lockett, player for Sydney at the time.
What do you mean you know him?
As in, like, I know who he is.
I love this. It's very Australian, isn't it? Got you the old pig there, mate. As a little tribute.
The Plugger. Plugger, the great man.
Hope you feel special.
I don't know, you guys, because someone on Twitter, PM on Twitter. Oh, it's not. I don't know what that stands for, unfortunately. But anyway, hi, mate.
Prime Minister.
He messaged him from Brisbane, so I don't know what he's up to. There.
Prime Minister.
But he sent me a link to when the Ashes, a pig was released that had Eddie on it about 30 years ago, 35 years
and
ago.
Ian Botham.
But I learned from you this morning, Vish, that the pig died.
I think the pig died.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Did Lord Botham have anything to do with that?
No.
Thanks, Britt. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now, plastered all over the Mail and various other places today and yesterday is the news that Dele Alli is on his way out of Tottenham Hotspur. Daniel Levy apparently has given the green light for him to move on in January with a loan move, most likely. I don't know about you guys, but I feel as though this is something that I've thought was happening for so long. It didn't really feel like news to me. I know, of course, that he was sort of linked with PSG, wasn't he, last season? And then Daniel Levy was like, no, we need him. unfortunately, Antonio Conte doesn't seem to agree. Yeah. I'd be quite pleased, Jim, to see him go and get some playing time somewhere.
It does seem like the best thing for everybody involved at this point, doesn't it? I think Antonio Conte has probably looked at what happened with, you know, Mourinho came in and he seemed to get a little bit of a tune out of him. Then it all fell apart and he did his thing of like singling him out and whatnot. But I feel like Conte is probably just like, I don't have the time or really the need to make this guy my pet project. So maybe everyone is just like, look, we tried to get a tune out of you again. It's not working. It's best for everybody if he moves on. I think it probably is as well. Like, it's interesting to see where he'll land. It's tempting to speculate about Newcastle, isn't it? They've been linked with Jesse Lingard, who you would think would be more effective. And if you said that 5 years ago, that would sound crazy. But it's just like, I mean, you've obviously watched him more closely than Vish and
I. Well, it's been hard to recently.
But,
I mean, the most closely I've been able to watch him was in the defeat to Ennis Moura, where he started his first start of the season. So I'm not sure that as a great advert for the man.
But it looks like he's just like a player that had a bad injury and has lost some mobility and has lost some pace. But I don't think that is the case. It's just something's missing from what made him such a dynamic player to start with. And I really hope for everyone's sake that he can find that again.
Yeah, it seems like a really sad lot. I mean, obviously, you, someone who's played that well for you and has been such a key part of the Pochettino era, which is something that sadly we exist feeling nostalgia for rather than seeing it as having been a platform to greater things. But anyway, who knows? We could be on to greater things, like winning the Europa Conference League imminently. No, we've been kicked out of it. Not yet. No, that's not broken yet. But so the point is that, you feel a real kind of fondness for Dele Alli, and also because he's an amazing shithouser.
Yeah, and I always think that just because you mentioned it there, Jim, if he was injured, people would have a bit more time for him.
Yeah.
People would understand that he's coming back from you know a great dip, or understand why his numbers aren't as good as they were. But I always think when I watch him now, I saw him last season in the Europa League, and he played quite well with Vinicius, and I remember thinking that like, oh, this could be something, and immediately snapping out of that and being like, oh, it probably isn't. Because it felt like we've seen a few false dawns with him. There was, we spoke about it before coming on air, the Mourinho's first game at West Ham when he does a nice bit of skill. There's obviously the Mourinho bit where he asks him, oh, you know, where are you Dele Alli's brother? And there's that, you know, all through the all or nothing, it feels like he's trying to get stuff from him and it doesn't quite work out. And it's easy to look at him as lost, but I wonder if he's like, football in a real football sense lost as well, because I was thinking, what would you say his position is? If someone asked you what position does Dele Alli play, you would say I can play off the striker because he did it under Pochettino, can play a bit deeper and be a bit niggly because he did it under Pochettino, and that's 4 years ago. And since then you're like, I don't really know. You're not creative enough to command your own space in a starting lineup. You're not diligent enough in the way that Højbjerg or Skip are to demand anything further back. Son is doing your second striker goal scoring load anyway. You're not really providing assists. Moura gives him a lot more energy. And so you're just in this space where a 25-year-old, we're saying, well, at the age of 25, we're saying, mate, you're done.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Vish, with a creativity issue. That is the word you would primarily have used to describe him when he first broke through at Tottenham.
Yeah, and hustle as well, and kind of making life difficult for being niggly as well.
He's a street smart.
He affected games though, didn't he?
Yes.
He made a big difference to what was happening, and he doesn't really do that now.
The main memory at the moment that I have, or the main thought that I've had of him at the moment, was watching that bloody Ennis Moura game, and Conte was standing on the sideline, and every time the ball was near Dele Alli, it was like Conte was trying to kind of organize him into a position, into a better position. There was a lot of shouting, and Dele just looked so like he was just one step, two steps behind the thinking of the ball, and that was against that side. Who, of course, no disrespect, Ennis Moura, obviously beat us, but it just really looked like, I don't know, is it, I started to think, okay, maybe it's a match fitness thing, but like we know in the Premier League and in all of these competitions that you just don't have time to kind of baby someone from the position that they're in right now to being the Dele of, 4 years ago now?
Yeah, maybe stop, you know, we mentioned the street smart thing. I feel like he was someone who always thrived on playing on touch and feel. Maybe he's just lost it. And in a sense of like, maybe he's just lost that instinct And also, like, maybe he's just lost a little bit of love as well.
Oh, God.
Well, maybe it would suit him to go somewhere and be the main man. To
I just don't think he's in position.
Unless PSG, that's PSG.
Yeah. unless it's like League One or something. I'm sorry, I just don't see where he's going.
That'd be a hell of a thing from League One to the Premier League, back to League One.
Yeah, it would be. I like it. But that's the next series. Yeah. Dele Alli, all or nothing.
Yeah. But the... I mean, there is, without doubt, a player still there. And if only because he's 25. And I think maybe he's got to make it so that he's got to sell himself to other people that he's not a project. That he, sign me and I'll work it out. You know, put me in a system and I'll work it out. Not that you need to coddle me in this way. And I suppose, yeah, like he's just got to, I don't know, just come back, Dele.
Come back. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's how we all feel. Tonight, football for you, but less than was expected because the Brentford against Manchester United game has been called off due to a COVID outbreak at Manchester United. A lot of frustration around this partly because the announcement of it being postponed was midnight last night.
Yeah, close to midnight last night.
And if you know, fans travelling down to London, blah, 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 it's really less than ideal. And it seems as though football might be pushing its luck at the moment in the Premier League in the sense that they announced a record high of 42 COVID cases on Monday night from one week of testing. QPR also, outside of the Premier League, QPR had to call off their game against Sheffield United last night because of a COVID outbreak. Aston Villa closed their training ground on Sunday. Norwich have reported cases as well, though their match is expected to go ahead tonight. They host Aston Villa. Man City are supposed to be playing Leeds. I assume all these things are going to happen, but I just think that it feels a tiny bit like it did when things started to shut down, 2 years ago now?
Was it 2 years ago, basically? Yeah. This, I suppose the latest run of positive tests really tallies with what we're seeing in public, really.
Yeah. Mm.
And I suppose there are definitely protocols that Premier League teams are following, but bear in mind, like a lot of the players would have probably been lax in the same way that we ourselves have been lax to a degree. And bear in mind, like, you know, they have kids, they have big families. I suppose it's not too surprising that we're seeing this spike, given what we're seeing outside the Premier League in this country generally anyway. So, firstly, you know, get your fucking booster, please. but also, do you think we're headed for another shutdown? Would a shutout, as it were, from, you know, going back to behind closed doors games?
I really hope not. I would think that everybody would really want to avoid that as much as possible. I think
it was crap seeing it in Europe.
It was rubbish, wasn't it? Yeah,
but just recently as well.
I would hope now that, you know, we have the vaccines and people are getting their boosters that won't be necessary. But the issue is the Omicron variant, isn't it? And how it's so much more transmissible than what we've seen before. So I really hope not, but I can definitely see a worst case scenario that is real rather than imagined.
Issue is certainly that, but it's also something that Stevie G mentioned in a press conference yesterday, where he said that he was maybe caught on the hot ball, maybe not, but he said, yeah, I think in future people will be looking at a player's vaccine status when signing them. And it's only logical too, because we don't have figures for all of the vaccinated players, but certainly we know there's been a high level of vaccine hesitancy among these athletes, and I don't know. Part of me thinks that if this game has been called off, for example, tonight, and yes, it's a terrible situation, but maybe something should be taken into account, given how many of your players you can get in order to get them vaccinated. So if you've done everything you can and yet have a problem and COVID causes you to, and obviously I'm speaking as, again, Spurs player. You know, Spurs Brighton got called off at the weekend. A Spurs player. Do I
know what you did?
Just speaking as a Spurs player, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a bit of an announcement for you. I'm taking a break from the ramble. Speaking as a Spurs fan, that game called off at the weekend as well. I think, you know, there's a limit to what can be done, but those things should be done. And one of those things is getting vaccinated. If you do everything, if you do literally everything you can and this happens, fair play. If you don't, well, I don't know if everybody should accommodate you all the time.
That is interesting, although I suppose it puts the focus on the club rather than the individual, doesn't it? And I think the individual really needs to take responsibility here when it comes to vaccinations and things like that. And I suppose it's in that specific example where a player would refuse to be vaccinated, that would be something for the club to deal with so that it doesn't affect the rest of rest of the squad, much in the same way that, you know, Bayern Munich have done it with their players who've, you know, they said are out of action until January. It's a big thing, obviously, in the NBA where players are being told that they can't go in certain countries and can't train altogether, if we think of the Kyrie Irving and Brooklyn Nets situation. So, yeah, I suppose it'll put the emphasis more on the clubs, but it's still, you know, you're still kind of, I don't know, begging the individual to see sense, aren't you?
I think in a lot of cases, the individuals talk about the freedom of choice and whatnot, but obviously, of course, it's your choice to get vaccinated or not get vaccinated. But if you choose not to get vaccinated, you have to accept that there are going to be measures that need to be put in place so that you don't affect the people around you.
More Football Ramble comment to come from Football Ramble Presents later this afternoon. The Upfront team are in the house talking about women's football. Very interesting stuff after Sam Kerr took down a pitch invader. I'm sure they'll talk all about that later on. They're also going to be discussing a huge upset in the WSL. Reading, bloody Reading, beat Chelsea. And they're going to be telling you also more about some of the teams on display in the FA Cup third round of the weekend, including the first ever seventh tier side to make it to that stage of the competition. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for that one. All right. Let's get a coffee, shall we, people?
Yes. None for you. We're going to get bigger biscuits as well.
Oh, what?
And hit you with them.
Can't wait. And ours won't be wrapped up, you little environment destroyer.
It's not wrapped up, to be fair.
All right.
It comes out of a little gel.
Fuck.
Truth police. Nice to see you, Jim.
You too.
Nice to see you, Bish.
See you.
On tomorrow, it's me.
Tomorrow?
It's you. It's Pete Donaldson. Can't wait. Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Oh my God, I wish I could be the host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'd watch that. Because you'd panic on behalf of the contestants.
Maybe that should be my career arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd talk all the way through their phone a friend, wouldn't you?
Well, I want to catch up with a friend.
Why can't I have a friend, you'd say?
How do you two know each other? What do you mean you were out the other day?
Oh, I can't wait. Guys, you could be on the celebrity version when I'm the host.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Well, actually, I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.